for my lesson today. I'm going to read some scripture from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verse 1. It reads like this: The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know knowledge, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. These are the words of the wise man of Israel, a man wiser than any other man in the nation of Israel. We face a key issue in life when we examine Solomon's life and how we relate to it. And if we are not careful, we'll make a grave mistake, a mistake that can have serious results in our own lives. There are different views taken of Solomon's writings. There are several. And our view of this account of Solomon's writings can change our life. There are several opinions. Our first opinion can be that we discount everything that Solomon has said to us. After all, he went over Fool's Hill. Even more, he went over an entire range of mountains. And he did that which most of us have never dreamed of doing. Should we listen to him? With this view, we draw the conclusion that Solomon has nothing to say to us. This is an error if we draw this conclusion. Another view that we could have, we could say that Solomon's message is for us, but that it gives us the opportunity that we too may go AWOL from God, and everything will turn out all right anyway. After all, Solomon did it, and he came back, so can we. However, to conclude that we can accept Solomon's writings and his counsel and set it aside for some future time, and then return later and let it be a part of our lives, this also is an error with dangerous overtones. God's message through Solomon is never one of delay. Never does he suggest that we put off until tomorrow any decision to follow God's law. I think that we could capsulize in two words the messages of God and Satan. God says today. Satan says delay. That's not the message that we should be getting from the writings of Solomon. There is another one, pretty close related to the second, which concludes, if we go out into the world for a while, we will become more thoroughly grounded in the faith when we return. This conclusion suggests that we can be more solid Christians through this experience than if we had never gone out to see what life is all about. Hogwash. That's what I think of that theory. Hogwash. And then again, we can ask ourselves, does anyone who has made a multitude of errors himself qualify as a counselor? Should young people heed those who have themselves been gross sinners of great magnitude? We are aware today of the model role of parents, teachers, and ministers. We admit also that the best teaching is done through modeling. The perfect teacher was a perfect model. What he taught, he lived. What he taught, he was. His words were the expression not only of his own life experience, but of his own character. Not only did he teach the truth, he was the truth. It was this that gave him teaching power. We are faced, however, with the reality that none besides Jesus has been a perfect model. Then what happens to the teaching of one who is less than a perfect model? The question arises, should anybody listen? Is anybody listening? Why should they listen to a faulty counselor? The scriptures was written for our instructions, so that we might have hope. This hope is for those who have sinned and fallen. It is not for us to plan on sinning for a while before returning to claim his promises. Faith and presumptions are lookalikes, but they are vastly different. To hold on to the hope we have in Jesus and his message is the work of faith. To presume that we may do as we please for a few years because others did it is to distort the message and destroy the hope. You and I may see in Solomon's life a message that could mislead us, but we must look beyond his life to the message which God gave to him for us, and that message is exceedingly a beautiful message, full of hope, full of wisdom, full of counsel. Solomon was indeed a wise man. Today, you and I cannot afford to miss the message that has come through him from God. Perhaps we cannot comprehend them all, but we can begin where he did. He prayed, O Lord my God, give your servant an understanding heart. I'm going to stop the lesson right here. But before I step away from the microphone, before I turn this computer off, I'd like to remind you that if you are having problems understanding the things that God has written for us, if you like wisdom in rightly dividing the scripture, you can ask for this wisdom. God will give it to you. God will not upbraid you for asking. He will give you this wisdom to understand his word. David said in Psalms 119 and verse 27, make me to understand the way of your precepts, so shall I talk of your wonderful works. And in verse 32, give me understanding, and I shall observe with my whole heart. Job said this in chapter 6 and verse 24. Job says, teach me and cause me to understand where I have erred. If you pray like David and Job, he will teach you. He will cause you to understand where you have erred.